This portion of scripture is very well known, but I thought a New Year's service message had a few, and I said, Lord, should I change it? And I was just impressed upon to speak on this particular chapter, or some of the verses on this chapter. So let's pray and we'll get into the word for a few minutes. Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us to spend around your word, and also singing the beautiful songs and hearing the scripture read, the announcements, just the leading of the singing, the music. Lord, I thank you for all that's happened. Lord, this is all part of the ministry, Lord. It's not a one-man show, and we thank you, Lord, for those who are involved in the ministry of this church. We thank you for each one. Now, Father, I pray that you'll hide me. Pray that Christ and Christ alone will be seen and heard. Pray, Lord, you'll take away every distraction, that you will help us to concentrate on your word and listen to your spirit as he speaks to us through your word, not through me, Lord. I pray that you use me as a channel, but Lord, I pray that you'll speak through your spirit and through your word. Pray, Lord, that you'll just bless and make us a blessing as we leave this place. And if there's one as has already been prayed that needs to accept you as Savior, Lord, I pray that that will happen this day. And I thank you, Lord, for this church, for his pastor, for the pastor's family, and for each one here this morning. I praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there are many, you know, we talk about famous last words, right? And one that comes to mind immediately is, I shall return. General MacArthur. But those are not his last words. There are others that he spoke. But that's one we remember. But then we look at some of the great men that we have in the past, and some notorious, some good, and we could learn from Karl Marx. This is what he said: the last words are for fools who haven't said enough. That is Karl Marx. Leonardo da Vinci, the great painter, the artist, he said, I have offended God and mankind because my work did not reach the quality it should have. Whoa! Leonardo da Vinci, he said, I offended God and the people because my quality did not reach that it should have reached, the quality. Marie Antoinette, we know she was a queen of France, right? During the French Revolution, she was executed. And as she was walking towards the guillotine, she accidentally stepped on the executioner's toes. And then this is what she said. These are her last words. She said, pardon me, sir. I did not do that on purpose. Sorry, I'll do that again. Pardon me, sir, I did not do that on purpose. Imagine, she's apologizing to the executioner for stepping on his toes. But those are her last words. Winston Churchill, this is what he said, I'm bored with it all. He said, I'm bored with it all. That was Winston Churchill. And he also said, I'm ready to meet my maker. I hope he's ready to meet me. Wow, that's Winston Churchill. A bit sarcastic there, but anyway. Steve Jobs, you know, the co-founder of Apple, he said, oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow. Those were his last words as he was dying. His sister used that in the eulogy, and she said, perhaps he had a bright idea even at that time. He said, oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow. Those were his last words. And so we have many, but then we look at scripture. Stephen, remember Stephen, Acts chapter 8, he was being stoned. And as he's being stoned, what did he say? Father, lay not this sin to their charge. Those were his last words. And we remember those. He said, Lord, do not lay this sin to their charge because they don't know. That is Stephen. And Jesus, as he was going up, you know, what did he say? He shall be witnesses. Those are last words. As he's going up into heaven, he said, you are going to be my witnesses everywhere you go. And as he was going up, the angel said, he's going to come back. So those were not really his last words, are they? Because this is God's word. It goes on forever and forever. And the Bible says the word of God endures, it abides forever. That is the word of God. So what we have this morning, the message, is actually God speaking to us through Joshua. So there are his words, God's words. And so these words of Joshua are immortal. I mean, when we think about Joshua's life, he was a great, great general. I mean, he was a wonderful man. He was a second in command in Moses' army. And when God said, when Moses said, whom shall I appoint? God says, that's a man, your general Joshua. He will be the one who will be leading the people of Israel now. And of course, we know that Joshua also had problems with the people of Israel. They kept falling into apostasy, into sin, rebellion against God. And time and again, God had to bring them back by different situations, circumstances brought upon in the life of the Israelites. So we know that Joshua had a battle. And we know that every leader has a battle. Every pastor has a battle. Everyone in the mission, in the ministry has a battle. But God is faithful. He will not let you suffer, but he will bring you through victorious in the end. So that's the story of Joshua. In chapter 23, he recounts all that God has done. He invites all the judges and the leaders, the heads of people. He says, come, I want to talk to you. And then he recounts all that God has done over the past, from deliverance from Egypt right through to this point that he was there. He says, God has been faithful. He says, he has brought us through. He says, he's delivered you. Imagine, from the Pharaoh to the sea. I mean, he made a way in the sea so the people could walk on dry land. They walked on dry land. Imagine, the seabed was dry land when the people of Israel crossed. And so Joshua says, don't you forget all that God has done for you. And you know, even in that chapter, he said, look at in Joshua 24, 23, it's telling, a very telling verse. Joshua 24, 23 says, now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. So even at that point, they were still serving strange gods. Even though Joshua was leading the army, there were people who were still serving strange gods. And Joshua says, put them away. They're no good. They will not help you in time of need. Only God will. The Jehovah God, the sovereign, righteous, holy one of Israel, he will help you. And then the people say, hey, we're going to worship God. Yeah, we will serve him. Joshua says, no, you will not. Because I know you. You have fallen into rebellion, apostasy, time and time again. You will not. But he said, no, we will. Okay, Joshua says, let you are witnesses of what you've said, that you will serve the Lord your God. But we know later on what happened. They fell back into rebellion and apostasy time and time again. And then we have the book of Judges. So Joshua says, he said, look, I've given you my word. I've spoken to you, my heart. He says, you choose the God that you're going to serve. He said, as for me and my house, these immortal words. In other words, just put them on a plaque somewhere. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Just imagine, Joshua, he's 110 years old. By the way, that is very young when we compare it to the pre-flood years, don't we? That isn't it? Because they were living to 969 years. Wow. How much can you learn in those years? A lot. How much can you retain? A lot. The people you meet in those 900 years, Adam's family you would have met. But here, Joshua, he says, I'm old and stricken in age. That means I'm very, very old. I'm dying. And he died at 110. But Joshua said, before he left, these were his last words. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The words we spoke of earlier from other men are not as significant. But these are. When Jesus says, you shall be witnesses, that is to you and me as well. Not just to the disciples. It's to all the disciples of Jesus Christ that we are to be witnesses. So as we go through 2026, Let us remember this, that God has given us a mandate as Christians to tell the people about Jesus Christ, to give the gospel of salvation of Jesus Christ. Well, the Bible says it is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Do you believe the gospel? It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, the Jew, the Gentiles, the Greek, to everyone. Why? Because the Bible says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The Bible says, the just shall live by faith. Not by sight. One day faith will become sight, but right now it's all faith. We can't see what's ahead of us. And sometimes, thank God, we can't. But we can't see what's ahead of us. God can. He knows the future. He's already written a plan for us. But he's going to see us through 26 and perhaps beyond that. But some of us, sadly, we may not see 26. That's just a fact of life. I may not see 26 through. Why? Because we're just a fact of life. It's age and you're dying. We're dying. And that's just the body decays and we go. But how do we go? Are you ready to go? I mean, have you accepted the Jesus Christ? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's simple as that. Evangelicals make it very difficult. They throw in flowery words. No, it's simple. If you believe that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth, it's righteousness. With the heart, you confess. The mouth confesses. The heart brings our righteousness. And the mouth confesses that Jesus is Savior. The Bible says, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's very simple. So my challenge to you this morning is, have you believed on Jesus Christ? It's simple. It's very simple. Accept him who he is and accept him as your Savior. He will save you. So Joshua throws out his challenge to the people of Israel. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So, which God are we going to serve? Are we going to serve the God that we have served past so many years, even the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself? Or each one of us, somehow, somewhere, sometime, we have created a God for ourselves. It could be a God of pleasure. It could be a God of attitude. It could be a God of just pleasure and just indulging things that are not right. They could be just our God. Anything that comes in the place of God is an idol. I have idols in my life that I've sometimes got to throw out because they have taken the place of Christ, the God of pleasure. This whole society, our society is one that loves pleasure. The Bible says, in the last days, people to be lovers of themselves, pleasures themselves, more than lovers of God. And so the scripture is so true, it's coming true. You look around. On Sundays, Sunday's the day. Yeah, we're going to play. We're going to have sport. We're doing it. Look, there's nothing wrong with pleasure. But if pleasure takes the place of God, that's wrong. Some would indulge in drinking and other addictions. That could be your God. Joshua said, put out the strange, whatever the strange gods were. We know some of them anyway, but there must be other gods that they were serving. Joshua, put them all away. They're strange. They're strange gods. And God himself said, I do not know these gods. There'll be no one beside me. I don't know any gods. And he also said, well, the gods that you make out of stone and timber and whatever other material you want to use, the gods that you make, they have ears, but they can't hear. They have a nose, they can't see. They have eyes, they cannot see. Hands there, but they cannot work. The feet there, they can't go. You have to carry your idols from place to place and wash it and clean it and bow down before. How stupid is that? Many countries do that. Where I come from, I mean, I've seen, they wash the idols, and especially when the special festivals are there, they wash the idol clean and, you know, painted, and then the idol can't do anything for them. They know it can't do anything, but they still do it, bow before it. So God says, they have all this, but they can do nothing. He said, and he also says, and all those who are worship these gods are just like them. Wow. So if we are worshiping a God that is not God, God says, we are just like these gods. Then they are useless, absolutely useless. They can't do anything for you. And we are just like them, dumb, foolish, lost. According to Cicero, the great Roman, he said the first duty of man is the seeking of, or after, and the investigation of truth. Well, what does the Bible say? That's what Cicero said. Solomon in Ecclesiastes 12:30 says, he says, the whole duty of man is to fear God. Not what Cicero said. Yeah, they were a great, very clever statesmen, authors, etc. But this is what the Bible says through Solomon. The whole duty of man is to fear God. That fear of God has been taken away from us Christians, friends. We have lost the concept of fear of God. The Bible says our God is a consuming fire. And he also said, the Bible says, it is a dangerous thing to fall into the hands of the living God. If we are fooling around with God and religion, there's a caution for you there, a warning. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The whole duty of a man is to fear God and keep his commandments. Fear God and keep his commandments. We don't do that. I don't do that. I fail so many times. Even when I'm preaching, okay, I failed. But what did Jesus say? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Then he says, John 8:36 says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, hey, you shall be free indeed. God says, Jesus said, if the Son, that is he who is God, shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. So if you are bound by some sin and some habit, addiction, I'm saying to myself and to you as well, take it to Jesus. He said, if the Son therefore shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. That is God's promise. He does not lie. You will be free of whatever problems we have. See, Jesus' perfect truth frees us to be all that God wants us to be. Only he can do that. So again, the question I pose to us this morning is, which God are we going to serve? Is it the God of our making and design and desire? Or is it the God that, God of the Bible, the scriptures, the Jehovah God, the righteous one, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. He has not changed. He will not change. We change. He does change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the one that was there in the book of Genesis is the same in the book of Revelation, and he's the same today, this moment, this minute. He will not change. He has not changed. He cannot change. He is God. We change. Let's ask God to help us to remain firm and steadfast and persevering. He does not change. Alexander the Great, he worshipped the God of power. Plato, he worshipped the God of knowledge. Just briefly. And many of these, they have their own gods. See, some say we will not have a God to rule over us. But wait a minute. Each one of us has a God. Each one of us has a God. Even the atheists have a God. That's their unbelief. That's a God. Because it's coming in between God and them. And yet there are many atheists who are dying and their deathbed have said, we regret what we've said. But you ask David, Moses, Paul, Abraham, the prophets, they will answer, we worship the God of heaven, the creator God, the creator of all, who holds all power in his hands. This is the God we worship. This universe, the planet that we're on, he's holding it in his hands. He's controlling it. If he lets go, we're doomed. But he's so created that it's not going to perish. It will be renewed, but this is still holding there because God is in control. He created it. He created you and me. But he created us for a purpose. The Bible says, thou hast created us for his pleasure. We are created for God's pleasure. Can you imagine that? When God walked with Adam and Eve, he was enjoying the fellowship and had pleasure in that. Until sin entered and that fellowship was broken. And down the ages there were sacrifices made. And that was just covering the sin until Jesus stepped into the world and said, I behold, John says, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He is the one that takes away our sin. See, I'm a sinful person. I'm a wretched, miserable sinner. But as Paul said, I say with Paul, I am what I am by the grace of God, and so are you. But if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, it's very simple. You just believe. And just go to the scriptures. There are people in the Bible, in the church who can help you through scriptures saying, how do I know? How can I be born again? Jesus said to Nicodemus, we know, you must be born again. Nicodemus, don't be surprised. Don't marvel. He said, you must be born again to come into my kingdom. It's not a physical birth. There is a physical birth. There is a spiritual birth. You must be born again of the Spirit. They served a God who is sovereign, who is real, who lives and reigns forever. And this one day we have the glorious rapture going to take place. And Jesus will take us to himself. Christians, that's for us. But then he's coming again to judge the earth. You know the song, Joy to the World, the Lord has come. That is actually a song of the second coming when he comes to earth. He'll rule with righteousness and peace. That is really a song of the last days, when he comes to earth. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive a king. They did not. The Jews rejected him. And so are people today rejecting God. Rejecting Jesus Christ. You say, oh, yo, just recently we were out witnessing in Mackay, and I came across an elderly, he was walking past me, and I said, excuse me, sir, can I give you a tract? So he took it. And he looked at it and he gave it back to me. You know what he said? He said, this is no good to me at this time of my life. I'm 85. I said, excuse me, sir. I said, I need it too. But this is what he said. Can you imagine? 85 years of age, I don't need this at this stage of my life. And there are many people like that in Townsville, in Mackay, all over the world, all over town, Australia. We see it every day. I don't need it. People are serving God of pleasure, a God of appetite. I mean, that's a big thing. For the wrong things, appetite for the wrong things. That's our God. People make that a God. Wrong things, appetite, pleasure. What about God of health? Now, these days, I don't know about here, but Mackay, every little corner you turn, there are gyms going up everywhere. Gyms, brand new gyms, all fitness centers. Why? Because people don't want to die. They want to live longer and longer and longer. And hopefully, they think we'll be strong, we'll make our bodies strong, so we can live and live and live. But fact of the matter is, it is appointed unto man, Hebrews 9, once to die. I'm going to die. You will die. Well, some may not die, the Bible says. We may be alive when Jesus comes, Christians. But the appointment is still there. The appointment of death is still there. It is appointed unto man once to die. Are we ready to meet that occasion? What did Amos say? He said, prepare to meet thy God. O Israel, O people of Townsville, prepare to meet your God. But who is your God? You need to know that. So is he a God of your making, or is he the God, that God of heaven? Daniel chapter 2 and 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19. I'm going to stop soon. But what about Daniel? Remember Daniel in chapter 3, I believe it is, yeah? When Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were asked to bow before this image of Nebuchadnezzar, this beautiful golden image, and he said, anyone that does not bow to this image, when the trumpets are blown, the music is played, the person that does not bow will be cast into the fire. So when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got word of this, they said, well, we're not worried. He said, we know God who will protect us. If he wants us to live, he will let us live. So when the trumpets were played and the music was played, and everyone else, whoa, Nebuchadnezzar, whoa, great art thou. These three fellows are standing, quite conspicuous by their disobedience. They stood up, and they were reported. Nebuchadnezzar said, well, is this true, O man, that you haven't bowed to the image? Yes, O king. He said, well, I'll give you another chance. I'll play the music again. You bow down, you'll be fine. He said, Lord, he said, O king, we're not afraid. He said, be it known this day, we will not bend, bow, or burn. He said, because the God that we serve, he's able to deliver us. But if he does not wish to deliver us, we are still fine. We are not going to bow because we are gods. And so the music is played and they all bow. The others, these fellows just, they kept standing. And Nebuchadnezzar was angry. He said, oh, this cannot be. This willful disobedience. I'm going to cast him in the fire. So this heated the oven 7 times hotter. So much so that the fellows who cast them in the fire were actually killed. It was so hot. You've experienced some of these cane fires, right? They're intense. Huh? Can you imagine this fire heated 7 times, and the people who are actually putting these fellows in the fire were burnt alive themselves. And then they were cast into the fire, and there's 3 there, cast, all bound, clothes and all. And suddenly Nebuchadnezzar looks, wait a minute. See me? There are 4 there. Wait a minute. Didn't we cast 3 in the fire? Yes, 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 O king, but how come I see 4? The 4th one looks like the Son of God. And then he calls them out, and you know, they were not even singed. No smell of fire. They came out just as they went in. Why? God delivered them. Friends, you and I have this God, the same God that we worship, who is on our side. Tozer said, A.W. Tozer says, he who's on God's side is on the winning side and cannot lose. He's on the opposite side, is on the losing side and can never win. He said, but that decision that you make, the choice that you make, and the consequence of the choice cannot be changed. And that's so true. Jesus says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change not. I cannot change. That's the one we serve. So as I close, thank God for this church. I really do. I love this church. I love you folk. This is, as I keep saying, this is my church. And when I die, hopefully Pastor Kelly's still around. He can do my service. But the thing is, this church has a witness. And I thank God for all you folk. Some are not here, I know. But I thank God for the pastors, family, and the elders, deacons, and all of you for your lives, for your testimony, and for your friendship in the gospel, and the fellowship in the gospel. And the witness that it has to the community around us, the bread ministry, the preaching ministry, the other ministry, youth ministry that you have, is drawing people in. not only to the church, but to Jesus Christ himself. Why? Because of your testimony and your witness. Why? Because you believe this Bible and because you believe the God of this Bible. Not the God of your making, but the God of this Bible. He is the one true and only God. So choose you this day, Joshua says, whom you will serve. Because he knew these fellows were going to fall into apostasy again and again and again. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So which God are you going to serve? That's your choice to make. I trust it will be the God of heaven, the God of the Bible. Daniel says, but there is a God in heaven. And may God bless you as we go through this 2026, that we might be a shining light, a beacon, holding forth the word of life in the community around us. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus, Lord. We thank you for all the blessings that we enjoy in him and through him. Pray, Lord, this morning we'll make our decision to serve you, you alone, and not be caught up with other gods of our own making. Pray that you bless, and also our pastor and his family, continue with them, bring them back safely. I pray that you bless the church abundantly, Lord, more than ever before. And we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace towards us, and for Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Brother Jared, and thank you.